Hey folks, your OS reviews. You're watching our retro review of the Cylvania SYNET 582, or the Cynet 582. This is a 9-inch netbook that was released a few years back, and it was sold at Target as well as Walmart, since, you know, Cylvania isn't exactly a very premium retailer, so you would expect this thing to be more popular. And there certainly was a quite popular version floating around in also drugstores such as Rite Aid and Walgreens, and that was a Windows CE version of a horrendous netbook that Cylvania put out on the market, and that performed terribly because, you know, Windows CE arguably, you know, is even less useful than Windows RT, since at least the interface on RT is quite modern. There's an app store, but with CE it's very antiquated, and especially for modern users in 2014, 2015, it just made for a terrible user experience. But this version actually wasn't too successful because it was more expensive. It was priced at around $400, which at the time was low since it's actually a full Windows netbook. It competed with the Asus EEPC and other netbooks that were on the market, so it did have that pretty standard configuration set, inclusive of Windows XP Home Edition, and it had an Intel Atom processor. It had, you know, a 250 GB hard drive, and there were RAM configurations of 1 GB or 2 GB of DDR3 RAM, so a fairly capable processor, and it's a full Windows machine as opposed to a mobile platform or a light version of or a fake netbook. So this is actually the real deal, and hence why the price point was steeper, and as a result, not as successful, and it's harder to come across. But we'll take a closer look at the design of this Cynet first. From an impressions perspective, it really reminds me of a portable DVD player. Also quite similar to other cheaper netbooks you might see by, let's say, Craig. It's also made out of this very glossy piano surface in the front, which attracts fingerprints as well as scratches quite easily. But all in all, as far as the Windows netbooks are concerned, for a full Windows computer, it remains fairly slim as well as lightweight. On the bottom here, there's access to a 3.5mm headphone jack as well as a microphone port. There's also a full-size SD card port for plugging in and extending the memory, or inserting memory, let's say, from an SD card on a camera and loading up images. There's also two standard USB 2.0 ports on the right-hand spine, along with an Ethernet port for wired connectivity to the internet, a VGA output for video out, a proprietary charging port for the battery pack. This is what the battery pack looked like. It's a fairly standard size laptop charger, but again, it's proprietary on this model. And there are two rather interesting red accents on either side of the hinges, which really doesn't do anything, just meant for an extra touch. I should mention that this is essentially the next generation model of the Cylvania G netbook, which is a bit more popular because that was a slightly less expensive. It ran on Linux as opposed to Windows XP, but it was still more powerful and capable than that Windows CE disaster of netbooks they rolled out into drugstores at a lower price point of under $100. But again, this one was a bit more expensive. The other side had access to a power on-off switch, along with an array of LEDs that told you the status of the hard drive, the Wi-Fi, wireless settings, and the battery status. And on the very back, there's access to a bit of info about the company, you know, the model number of this netbook, along with the serial number, reinstallation, product key, and there's also the battery, which is actually a very small battery, but despite the small size, this is actually quite a good battery, even here in 2016. I was rather surprised. So this is all it is. It's very small, very lightweight. It makes up for the hinge and then snaps back into place. But even as a used netbook, I still got roughly 4 hours of usage out of this battery, which is, again, pretty good since this is a computer that has a spinning fan, has a regular spinning hard drive, and those are all things that takes up energy compared to modern ultra portables, which have a solid state drive, you know, flash memory that doesn't require moving parts and doesn't have a fan. So those are all things, you know, why battery life with modern computers is slightly longer. But for, you know, an older netbook, this one really does still perform quite well in the battery department. Otherwise, we can open this up and take a closer look at the design on the inside. Again, quite similar to those budget DVD players, around the same size, around the same design. Also, you know, Cylvania produced a few DVD players at Target that we saw back in the day, so quite similar in that sense. But on the inside here, there's access to a smaller keyboard, definitely, since it is a netbook, but it's pretty comfortable. It's a regular keyboard that has a pretty good layout, dedicated row on the very top to function keys that dubs as media controls for the volume, as well as mirroring the screen on an external display, turning the computer into hibernation mode, and also standard number keys are actually doubled up in blue here, so you have to tap on the function since there isn't a dedicated numpad since the size is, you know, so small. Otherwise, for a small netbook, the trackpad is decent. It's not the largest thing in the world, but they did a good job with the room that they had, I feel like. And there's also, you know, stickers for Intel Atom as well as, you know, Windows XP. It's an XP netbook, so performance there is quite standard. Boot up times are going to be a lot slower than Windows 7, 8, and 10, which is why we actually installed a modern version of Linux that we're going to show you later on in this video that significantly improves that boot up time and also performance more or less with this machine. Now, there's also standard left and right click keys, which are tactile and responsive. The hinge here is quite strong, and there's also a matte or a transflective screen on the very top here, which is a nice design from the company, actually. Same kind of screen technology they use on their DVD players again, so this means that it prevents the screen from glaring too much under the sun and still remains decently readable, even though the backlight does wash out considerably. It's not a Pixel QI screen, but it works nicely. And there's also stereo speakers on either side, which is a little tinny, even though it can get quite loud. The very top features a 1.3 megapixel webcam, so you can do Skype calls, video conferencing, and there's a few rubber accents that prevents it from getting scratched when you close the laptop down. And this is as far as the hinge can go, so it's not a completely rotatable hinge, but it does work. So as far as hardware is concerned, it's, you know, surprisingly sturdy and well put together, as well as classy for a rather low-cost netbook. Next, we're going to power this thing on and show you guys the user. The process of booting into the operating system takes just a few seconds, thanks to the fact that we have a version of Mint Linux Rebecca installed, as opposed to the typical Windows XP operating system that this thing came with. With that being said, you definitely are missing a few of the legacy options found in Windows computers, but it still gives you offline apps like OpenOffice, as well as file managing that you really need in addition to a pretty reliable and fast web browser. So taking a quick look at the system next, you can see that the keyboard itself, as aforementioned, actually works decently, I'd say. It's fairly responsive as well as easy to type on after you start using it for a few minutes or so, and it makes for a decent word processing and also emailing machine. And taking a closer look at the OS and its core functions, if we zoom a little bit more into the screen here, we have this help screen that starts up automatically. As you can see, it's version 17.1, and there's also battery as well as a Wi-Fi status in the bottom right-hand corner, which is pretty typical. There's also sound status that you can change. A benefit of running on Linux is that the battery life sees a significant bump, and even for an older netbook, the battery here is actually pretty decent. I charged this up a few weeks ago, and it still is holding a pretty good charge that will last me for about 4 to 5 hours of continuous usage, which is, again, pretty good for a old netbook, and also at this price point. There's also some time and date details down below here. On the left-hand corner, there's actually a full bar that you can tap on to bring up all your applications, inclusive of customizing the experience and adding different graphics, changing the fonts, as well as bookmarks. There's also Bluetooth on here as well. Basic utility tools such as a calculator can also be found here. You can start typing here directly to launch into specific apps if you want to find it more quickly. And there's also other things such as OpenOffice that you can tap on, as well as create different shortcuts on the bar over here. So it is quite customizable and easy to use. I think it's a little bit better than something like Chromebook OS at this time, just because there aren't many offline apps that you can use on a Chromebook. Of course, that will change soon as it supports Android apps directly, but at this time at least, I still think this is a better option, just because offline, you know, access to apps like word processing is still something most people will need and find. Other things on here, you can go to internet and check out a few other web browsers that you can install, as well as you can see that Firefox comes pre-installed. There's also Office, again, OpenOffice, and there's sound and videos that you can use to play back your video files using VLC, which is pretty versatile. Preferences, as well as, again, file managing. So a pretty full suite of basic features that you can access on here. So if we take a quick look at the web browser next, we can just close up this welcome screen here and tap on Firefox. Firefox is a decent browser, I think. Better than Internet Explorer for sure in terms of speed, and allows you to view back Flash videos as well as elements that require videos to play back directly. As far as video playback goes, it does a decent job of playing back YouTube videos as well as Hulu and Netflix, but there's sometimes going to be a bit of a slowdown and stuttering, That's just because of the Intel Atom, older Intel Atom processor used on here, as opposed to something newer with such as a Bay Trail processor. So this is one of the limitations here, but it still will work, especially for light web browsing and reading text. It does a decent job. So if we would do a test of a rather complex site such as the New York Times, we can try to tap on that and see if we can search this up using our Wi-Fi connection here. And we can try and load up the full site version. So again, this is an older netbook, which means that it does have a physical kind of fan that kicks on in the background once the unit starts to think and process and open up more apps. So unlike lots of modern Windows tablets and ultra portables that we're used to, this is something that generates a bit of heat as well as noise in the background. But overall, it's not too crippling, and you can definitely still use it without, you know, this being too much of a distraction. So as we can see here, all the elements do load up in a respectable amount of time, and still is a pretty capable browser. I think this version of Firefox is a little bit outdated, so we have to do a bit of updating soon, just to get things you know, more up to speed. But all in all, really not bad. You can definitely click on all the hyperlinks and check out also the videos directly embedded onto a page. So again, a pretty decent browsing experience on here. So if we close out of this, again, multitasking is possible, but it's not the best experience just because of the slower processor and more limited RAM, but that is something to consider. If we open up something like just the typical Writer app, which opens up and supports Word documents as well, we can show you guys how word processing looks like. There we go. So we have access to the typical things that we want to edit, such as font size, as well as the font itself, the spacing, the headers, as well as the formatting for the words, highlighting text, italics, so on and so forth. So it becomes a pretty decent experience. So this is a test, and there is auto correction as well, which you can program and look through for misspelled words. So a pretty decent word processing experience, and of course you can use the web browser for accessing email. So again, all in all, this is still a pretty decent option to go with. So if you are considering picking up one of these Sylvania netbooks, again, Linux Mint, as well as other Linux versions might be a good option, just because Windows XP is really getting outdated and it's quite slow to operate now on this netbook. But if you do need legacy apps, it can still be a decent passable experience. But if you want a longer battery life, you just need some very light web browsing as well as a file editing and document editing, this might be a better option overall. So anyways guys, this has been an interesting look back and a retro throwback review of this Sylvania Windows XP netbook. This was back then a low-cost computer that ran again on Windows XP and had that typical Intel Atom processor, as well as a fairly portable 9-inch form factor. And all, it still remains a pretty sleek as well as a lightweight laptop today, even though of course the parts and hardware underneath are severely underpowered by 2016 and 2017's standards. Thanks for watching here at OS Reviews.